When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Few people embody a positive, powerful, and balanced approach to living well during midlife, quite like broadcaster and host of the Midpoint podcast, Gabby Logan. At 47, the mum of two feels as good as she did in her 30s and is passionate about women her age and older truly owning their place on TV, as she's very much doing right now, hosting the BBC's coverage of the Six Nations. The way she sees it, she's only become more experienced and more skilled in those intervening years. And as you'll find out, she's really fine-tuned the way she maintains her health and wellness too. Hello, I'm Roisin Devonshire-Kane and this is Going for Goal, the weekly women's health podcast. On this show, we call on top experts to share the tools you need to make good on the health goals that matter to you, and chat to our favourite celebrities and wellness heavyweights about what they do to feel and function at their best. And this week, it's Gabby's turn to chat Editor-in-Chief Claire Sanderson through her feel-good habits and health goals. You'll hear about her fitness regimen, what it's really been like to parent in a pandemic, and why it's so important to her to prioritise her gut health. But what really sets this conversation apart is how open Gabby is about less well-trodden grounds. It's a really great listen. Hope you enjoy. Over to Claire.
Hi, Gabby.
Hello, Claire. Hi, how are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Good. Very good.
It's a very pertinent question to ask, actually, because we are in lockdown at the moment. So when someone says, how are you? And it's just a, you know, a good response. Really, how is life for you at the moment?
Yeah, I've been quite busy, actually, because sport came back about June, didn't it, last year? That's when the first live sport started. So I started doing a lot of telework from then on, really, because the normal seasons have just kind of all merged and clashed. And so we've had one week I did rugby, athletics and football in the same week, you know, so it's all been quite a mishmash of stuff. It's not really kind of taken any, you know, regular order, but that's fine. And I've been going to grounds and getting to see live sport and having conversations with people other than my children and my husband. So I feel quite lucky, really. So I can't complain. And we live in a rural area. We've got a bit of space. I know we're, you know, kind of very privileged to have, you know, stuff to do, and I've got a nice gym at home. So I do feel very lucky, and I feel very privileged that, you know, that we've got teenagers as well, right, by the way. So I haven't got like kids under five, you know, and 7 year olds that need constant attention. So I know it could be very different. I mean, the uncertainty, the anxiety that everybody kind of has, you know, to some degree, definitely. I've had a bit of that, but yeah, I'm okay.
you've just described my life, that I have an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old at
right.
home.
So yeah, top trumps.
it's so stressful. I give me work any day.
Yeah, I went for a walk this morning with a friend of mine who is a teacher. Her son and my son are best mates, and she teaches at his old school, and she teaches year fours. And she had parents evening on Zoom last night and everything. And I was asking her how it was as a teacher, you know, and are the parents being responsive, kind of, you know. She said, it's so interesting. Some parents, they want more, you know, they want kind of, can you organise our playtimes on Zoom? You know, she's going, well, no. Others don't seem to be doing anything, you know. She said, we'll just have to deal with it. You know, it's just when they come back, we'll have to see where they are, really.
So your children are older. You have a twin boy and a girl. How have they coped? Have they been homeschooling, or they sat on Zoom all day?
They've had. It was funny when we went back in this time. My son had moved his computer to the dining room the first time, so that they didn't have to work in the set, because they've got a kind of homework room, which normally is fine to share that space. But if you're going to be on a Zoom all day long, you can't share that space. I mean, I know that with my husband. I've just kicked him out of the office. His office is up just around the corner here where the dog's lying. You can see behind me. And he was just on a call. And I said, you're going to have to get off. I'm about to do a podcast. And the kids separated in the first lockdown. And my son took the dining room because I wasn't going to be having many dinner parties, was I? So he took the dining room and he loves it. It's a really gorgeous big dining room. And so he's kind of like got this massive space to himself. And when he moved back in January, he said, oh, I'm a bit nostalgic. I feel like I'm coming. The thing I worry about with them is they're looking at a computer screen all day long, aren't they? You know, he goes off and works out at lunchtime. She's lucky because she's got horses, so she'll go every day. She hacks at lunchtime, so she's living the dream for a horsey person, you know, because she gets to do more riding than she's ever done, so she's really lucky. But the social aspect of being a teenager is gone, hasn't it? You know, they've had almost a year with that whole kind of social life disappeared, and that part I do worry about,
because the younger generation, I think they've got more of a innate mental resilience in that they're more in tune with mindfulness. Some of them practice them at school. I think that you said in a previous interview that your children do at their school. But equally, they've been thrust into this unprecedented, very overused word this year, I know, but this unprecedented situation. And I do worry about the long-term impact that's going to have on them. For instance, anxiety about being in crowds and being in social situations. Is this something that you discussed with your two?
I'm not so much worried about that. I mean, I suppose with kids, my son is incredibly sociable. So after I speak to you and he finishes his school day, he said, can you run me down to Beaconsfield, which is our little local town? And he said, I'm just going to go for a walk with a friend, and which I'm happy for him to do, you know, to go walking with their mates and to go for a bike ride with their mates, because otherwise they don't. But he would do that every day because he's very good at being proactive about his social life, if you like. Whereas my daughter, she's busy with school and horses and stuff, I had to kind of almost force her to organise a walk at the weekend. I said, get somebody to, you know, because I could see her getting kind of a little bit down and a little bit unmotivated, and she just needed that kind of, you know, somebody else to be with. And she's less sociable, you know, she's very, you know, she loves going out, but she's more likely to want to work and finish off her homework, and she's very studious and conscientious. And I think school provided a really great place for her to socialize as well. So I do, you know, I do worry at the moment. I think afterwards they'll be out there. I think mine are the kind of age where I think they just want to get out, don't they? They want to be doing their sport. They want to be doing the social stuff. The thing that I think that concerns me is kind of, you know, younger kids who aren't, you know, able to express that, I suppose. They're able to express that, but younger kids don't quite have the vocabulary, do they? And I don't mean they haven't got the words. They just don't know why they're feeling something. Whereas mine have been very good, as you say, the whole kind of mindfulness conversation that goes on at school and around the media and social media. They're good at saying, I feel rubbish today, which is great.
And it sounds like you have a very communicative household. So you have these conversations with each other. You encourage your loved ones to be open with each other.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And we, you know, we regularly, we have all our meals together anyway. But in lockdown, obviously, we do. And we'll sit at the dinner table and have a chat about their day and what's going on and try and I'm trying to put things in for them to look forward to as well. So I'm trying to book a week away in the summer, just in the UK, obviously. I'm struggling to get a house at the moment. I'm kind of like, but somewhere that they can bring friends. And I said, you can bring two friends each. And that took an hour of conversation last night because they were so excited about it. And I realized then, actually, I need to do more of this. I need to put other things, even if it's day trips, just things to look forward to think about. And when I told the other parents that their kids, you know, had been invited and stuff, the parents were so excited for the kids. Because I think it's just what I realized last night when I was getting these replies, we all need that, don't we? We all need to have something to look forward to. And even if we have to cancel it.
The parents are excited for themselves, I think. Yeah. I've seen so much of my kids, I can't wait to get rid of them.
One of them did reply with, are you mad? You know, taking 16-year-olds, they'll all be then. They'll all be 16. And they all think they're going to have this like riotous summer, post-GCSE summer. So yeah, maybe I am a bit mad, but I'd rather be kind of like, you know, on top of them and know what's going on, you know, if we go away, than me thinking, oh my God, they're away somewhere. What are they doing?
Yes, exactly. True story, I went to Magaluf at 16. I don't know how my mother left me, with 14 girls from the South Wales Valleys.
Oh my gosh. were you part of a reality show or something? That sounds insane.
There was no such thing then, but we should have been. We should have been.
I'm not going to let my kids hear this podcast because they'll go, see, Mom, we should.
My daughter won't be going away when she's 16 to Magaluf. Absolutely no chance. I want to be in your family because my husband, last summer, I think had a bit of a midlife crisis and spent thousands on camping equipment because we... because we couldn't go away, so we now own so much camping equipment.
You can rent it.
This summer, he's planning all these camping trips, so I'm like, don't get ahead of yourself. The minute we're allowed abroad, we are going.
Well, I just think it's so risky to book an abroad holiday this summer, isn't it? You know. Wow. So I just thought, last summer I spent about a week of my life unraveling trips, you know, and trying to get refunds on flights because it was my mum's 70th. I'd booked this amazing house in Mallorca. I'd never done anything like this. I'd paid for flights for my sister to come from America, my brother and his girlfriend, and my mom. I'd done them all separately. I'd done every single one of the bookings kind of to get the best prices. I hadn't done like, you know, a block booking. So I had, and caterers and all sorts. And I still don't know if I've been refunded by American Airlines for my sister's flight. But I thought to myself, right, I'm not going through that again. We need places we can get in the car. And go. In the end, we went to Scotland last year in the car, and we've done Scotland two summers running. So I know the kids are a bit Scotland outed for their summer holidays. So, just to have some, I don't know, see the sea. When you live inland, you just want to see the sea, don't you? So that'd be nice.
So your podcast is called The Midpoint, your tagline is that you're middle aged and ashamed. So what's being middle aged mean to you?
What does it mean to me? It means different things all the time because I'm always interviewing and chatting to people in that period of life who have such different perspectives. And so I'm so glad I've done this project. I started it at the beginning of the first lockdown because it was something I'd wanted to do for a while and I had the time. And I'm just loving it. I'm loving the creativity that you can kind of just go and do something on your own. You know, I'm not doing it with the BBC or anybody else. And it's given me a real kind of reason to read around the subject, to get very knowledgeable about various areas of kind of this period of our life in terms of the physical side of things, the mental side of things. And so I suppose what it means to me right now is it's quite empowering, you know, and I feel like it's a period where this has given me confidence to try other projects off my own back, you know, and to feel that I can do stuff that's, you know, I've been wanting to do, been burning up inside me for a while. And so the freedom that having teenagers brings as well, because obviously their independence is growing and in a couple of years' time, they'll be gone. And so, yeah, I feel quite free. that's what midlife feels.
And you've had some really interesting guests on there. You've had Davina McCall, who is a friend of Women's Health after she's been on our cover, and Mariella Fostrap. And one of the things they've spoken about at length is the menopause and the perimenopause. And that's definitely a conversation that wonderfully is gaining pace and gaining more amplification. Would you mind sharing your perimenopause story? I know that you started experiencing symptoms.
Yeah. So just going back just slightly. So the midpoint isn't just about that. Because I wanted, because there are podcasts, you know, that are kind of very much more focused on the women's issues. And I wanted to do a podcast with men and women. So I tend to flip-flop. So it's 50-50. One week it'll be a male guest, one week a female guest. And the reason I wanted to do that was partly because of the menopause, perversely, because I feel like it's a conversation that is growing kind of in its volume and more people are talking about it. But also, you know, men work alongside women. Men are married to women. And I think men need to also know what's going on because we need to kind of have that empathy and understanding of what's happening to our partners and our friends. And men also have physical changes. You know, they don't happen in quite the most dramatic way that women's kind of do in terms of the rate of drop off of the hormones. But I just did not understand fully what was happening or going to happen to me, I'll be honest, you know, before I started in this area. And that's partly why I wanted to explore it. And so what I did was, in Mariella's episode, she talked about this doctor. I don't know if you remember, she talked about going to see a doctor and having it explained to her and having her bloods done. And after the podcast, I said, could you give me the name of the doctor? And I booked an appointment to go and see this doctor that she'd raved about. I mean, it could have been any doctor, but I just kind of, you know, when you like a referral, don't you, from somebody, and you like to know somebody's trusted somebody. And so I went and had my bloods done for the first time ever in terms of hormone checking. And basically, I'm probably never going to have a period again, basically. so I'm kind of almost through that part of my life, which I had no idea, first of all, that they could tell that from the bloods. You know, I was like, what? How can you know that? And she said, you might have one or two. And because I hadn't had very dramatic symptoms, I didn't realise I was even perimenopausal. And because I had IVF, she explained that your menopause can come earlier. And I also didn't know that. So I was getting all this kind of knowledge and information very, very quickly, kind of, you know, explaining things about me and what was going on. And she said, look, your hormones are kind of like way down, you know, to where they should be. And actually, the reason you're feeling so tired is this. The reason why your skin is feeling dry is this. And, you know, and so just explaining how the hormones work in relation to my body and what was going on. And so I made the decision that that I would use some bioidentical hormones, because she explained the risks and what, you know, what they were and the benefits and what they were. And I think everybody's decision is completely individual. You know, you whether you want to do that or not is totally up to you. But I felt like, well, I'm not feeling the best version of me that I can feel right now. And I don't want to kind of, I don't want to just kind of allow myself to slow for no reason. Do you know what I mean? Just because it's, you know, I'd like to feel better. And it wasn't, it's such a steady kind of feeling that you don't notice almost that your energy might have dropped off, or that you're, you know, you feel like I'm falling, feeling sleepy at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or whatever it is that is happening to you. So, so that's where I am really. And that's been about 6 months since I saw her. And I feel, you know, I feel really good, and I'm very lucky because I haven't had a lot of the more aggressive symptoms that you get with the menopause. I haven't had night sweats or kind of, you know, feeling itchy skin, like some of the things that sound really quite aggravating.
So I too take HRT, and I started having the symptoms when I was about 39. And I
really
was completely unaware that this was even possible at that age. You know, I had my last child when I was 37.
That's classed as early. That's classed as early, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. So the perimenopausal symptoms can start, and they can go on for years. They can go on for like 10 years or something. But I too had the blood test, which said my estrogen was a sixth of what it should be. My testosterone was low. But even as the editor-in-chief of Women's Health, I hadn't heard the phrase perimenopause. And that was, no. You know, I'm 42 now, so it was some time ago. And the conversation has definitely gathered pace. And I think as a brand like Women's Health, we're talking about it. You and I are talking about it now. And people like Davina and Mariella and Meg Matthews. And I do believe the more women of our generation in their 40s who start owning the aging process, the better. Because, for instance, you work in TV. There was a time not so long ago where there was a shelf life for
yeah,
TV presenters.
Yeah.
And Susanna Reid gave an interview recently where she said that she thinks that ship has sailed, and she thinks there's no longer a shelf life, and older women are owning their place on TV. Is that something you would agree with? Or
yeah, I mean, this is part of the reason why I wanted to look into this as well, because I, on the inside, didn't feel, you know, dramatically different to the 32-year-old me. So, you know, yes, I've got more lines, and, you know, yes, I'm not looking exactly the same as I did when I was 32. That would be, unless I was, you know, incredibly lucky, that would be fairly unique, wouldn't it, to look exactly the same as you did in your early 30s. But I also felt like I got more experience, and there's more I want to do, and I'm better at my job, and, you know, so all those things that you kind of are plus points for being a bit older. I just didn't want to stop work just because of being a certain age. And being able to keep those conversations going in, you know, on live television and all those things requires obviously mental dexterity and cognitive ability. And so when I was reading about some of the effects of menopause were to do, you know, kind of to do with the slowing off of the cognitive overload, which Davina talked about on the Midpoint podcast, I said, okay, I need to look at this, because actually I'm doing live TV for hours and hours on end. I can't just forget something in the middle of a conversation. So, and I think that applies to a lot of women in high powered and high performance jobs where, you know, they suddenly disappear from boards or from being the CEO because they don't quite get there because of this period of their life that can cause confusion physically and emotionally and mentally. So for me, it's really important that women keep pushing through, you know, so, and get those top jobs and are still in politics and are still in, you know, frontline business and still in whatever the profession is, you know, that it's not because of what happens to them in their menopause that they disappear. That would be a travesty, wouldn't it? That, you know, we've got all this ability to help with our well-being, and we're not giving the information correctly, so people don't necessarily take it.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
So you've obviously been a lifelong devotee to well-being. You were a competitive gymnast. You competed in the Commonwealth Games for Wales. And then when your career was cut short when you were 17, you then continued other types of fitness throughout university and beyond. And you've said that it made you better at everything then. And you're really pleased that you took that route when you could have taken a different route. So you're now in your late 40s. What does wellness look like for you now?
Wellness is intrinsically tied up with fitness, you know, for me, in terms of my mental well-being is definitely boosted by the pheromones that come from my physical well-being and working out. And so at the moment I'm doing a lot of online stuff because, you know, that's the way it is, and doing some really nice classes. And I've got back into training with a trainer I trained for years, a guy who called Mel Dino. I used to train with. I've been doing a few sessions with him online and a few HIIT classes. I might do some yoga, go for a run, doing loads of walking. And it's definitely helping me get through this period, and also the energy that's created, you know, from that movement, I find is very positive. You know, you can't sit at your desk all day in front of a Zoom, and, you know, you've got to get out and get some fresh air as well. Even if the weather's rubbish, I don't mind. I just get out, make sure you've got the right shoes on, and go and, you know, breathe the air. So that's really important to me, the physical side of wellness. And then there is the side, obviously, that is about being in the moment, I think is probably the best way to describe it, you know, and to not look too far ahead in terms of, I mean, I know kind of you want to have things to look forward to, but at the moment we're so out of control, I think, you know, that what's happening is within none of our grasp, is it, our control. So you have to release that idea that you can control this. And I think if you're somebody that's always been in control of what you do and, you know, very organized and all that kind of thing, there's quite it's a bit of friction, isn't there, between what you'd really like to happen and what is happening. So to achieve more balance and to achieve better wellness, I've had to learn to just kind of go, okay, I'll hold my hands up. I, you know, what's happening around me is nothing that I can affect, and what I can affect is my own well-being, which then trickles down into my family. So it's been an effort.
And you're a great advocate for gut health, aren't you, and how your gut is your second brain and can massively influence your holistic well-being.
I've always known that, you know, and I think if you feel like you've got IBS, if you feel like you've got gut issues, there is something else going on. You know, that's not how you should feel. And so many people live with those feelings, not knowing really, because it becomes almost normal. And there's something either is going wrong in your diet that's not good for you, or there's stress in your life, or there's something else happening. And the gut is so powerful in that respect, to kind of how it reacts to our body and how it reacts to the release of cortisol, or kind of, you know, the chemicals that we release when we're scared or frightened or nervous or anxious, you know, it comes back to that feeling in the stomach. You talk about butterflies in the stomach and, you know, those kind of childlike kind of expressions actually tell you a lot about what's going on. And so in terms of my kind of the passion for it, if you like, I met somebody locally who was doing juices. She was making really great pressed juices. And then we kind of came up together with a drink, which basically she's the brains behind it, but we discussed a lot what is needed out of a sports drink. And it's called TYG, Train Your Gut, and it's basically probiotic sports drink, because so many sports drinks, as you know, are loaded with sugars and nasties and things that are kind of not actually helpful for the gut. And when you train hard, you do release a lot of stress in your body, because that's what you're doing, you know, you're effectively stressing your body. So how to get that stress down quickly through something that helps you kind of restore that balance in your stomach. So yeah, it's definitely an area that, 'cause Kenny also, my husband, has had gut issues all his life. He's, because his mum's a celiac and he's always been gluten free. But what he's noticed more and more is it's not just the gluten. There's other things that are starting to affect him. So he's been doing some investigating on his own, kind of to try and work out if he's got some kind of bug or something. So we're very very careful about when I'm cooking as well, you know, to make sure that you want exciting food, but not food that's going to aggravate him. So we kind of have to get that balance. So it's something that I definitely think about a lot, and I listen to my gut.
And you drink mindfully, because there's alcoholism in your family. So you have a mindful approach to how much alcohol you consume.
Yeah, I do. I think when you have experienced addiction and alcoholism around you in the family, I think it changes your relationship with alcohol. And you can go one way or the other sometimes. You know, you either go kind of completely without it, or, you know, you follow the family kind of path of, you know, perhaps too much. And so I've seen that in both, you know, in people I know and families that I know where alcohol has been there. But I don't want to give up completely. I might do one day, but right now I like having a glass of wine or a gin and tonic, you know. And it's really, I said to Kenny actually, I said to this morning, because we had a glass of rosé with dinner last night, and both of us felt really rough this morning because he made a salad. It was his turn to cook and he made a salad. Can you believe that? In the middle of January. And so I said, oh, this feels very summery. So he went, would you like a glass of Whispering Angel? And I was like, all right then, to make it fully feel like summer. And this morning I felt quite rough. And I said to him, first of all, I said, should we just stop drinking until we're allowed to go out to a pub? Should we make that the kind of, you know? And he was like, that could be ages. I was like, and? But I, you know, I don't want to stop being able to enjoy it. Do you know what I mean? I want to kind of, that's why I'm mindful, because I don't want it to become something that controls me. And I think that's when you're around alcoholism, I think that becomes very apparent, that the person has lost control.
I don't drink very often at all. I'm more of a chocolate girl, but I do love having a glass of shandy watching the Six Nations, because I'm a passionate Welsh rugby fan.
Yeah.
And I understand you are, even though Kenny played for Scotland, but you still support Wales.
Yeah, well,
Wales,
I'm my dad's Welsh and I represented Wales at the Commonwealth Games. And so my team are Wales and always have been. And yeah, so there's a bit of friction at times on that one. I mean, Scotland have been getting a bit better in them, and they won the last one, obviously, back in lockdown in November. It was the last match of the 2020 Six Nations was delayed, and they won in Wales for the first time in, I think, 22 years. But Wales generally have been on top for a while against Scotland, so I haven't had to worry too much.
Yeah, Wales are on the decline a little bit, aren't they? We'll see.
I think
what
transition.
Happens.
I think we call it transition. That's
transition,
what we're going to call it.
Right, that's what we'll call it. So, what about the twins then? Are they Scotland?
They're Scottish.
Fans?
They're Scottish. Yeah, oh. I tried. But Ruben's very. He's really committed to Scotland, and he's very proud of that, and he's quite envious of Kenny's. Like, he'll say to me, where we live is a lovely part of the world, they've got loads of friends, but he said, you know what I haven't got that daddy had when he grew up? He said he was in Scotland, he had all his like cousins and everybody around him, and because he's from a big family of like boys and rugby players, and you know, and he said he's got this romantic idea, I think, of living in Scotland, of what it's like, because Kenny lived in the shadow of the Wallace Monument near Stirling Castle, and it's real Braveheart country. So I think Ruben's got this kind of image of, you know, them all running through the fields kind of, you know, in kilts, which it wasn't quite like that, but he's very proud of his Scottish roots.
Because my kids support Wales. I've won that argument in our house, even though I'm married to an Englishman. And to be honest, he sort of supports Wales as well now, because I think he can see how much it means. It means to the Welsh and the singing.
Well, there's much, much more fun at the Principality than you do at Twickenham. Oh, let's be honest.
Yeah, because I try to go to all the Wales home matches. And the singing and the fact that the stadium's right in the city centre, you know, and everyone's queuing to get their pubs at 8 o'clock in the morning, and everyone comes down from the valleys. It's a shame, and it's not going to happen this year. What do you think is going to happen this year with sport?
Well, obviously, the Six Nations is going ahead without fans, and it will be strange, but I think it's important to get it played. You know, I think you can't postpone it, because the thing with sporting schedules is you just bump into another, whether it's the British and Irish Lions or it's the leagues, you know, you just bump into another event. So they've got to get it done, and if they can get it done, obviously they should, because it's important for the unions to get, you know, the TV rights and all of that stuff. It's just, it will be, for me, the one tournament where you just go, ah, you know, not having that singing, not having that. But it is what it is. And then we've got to hope that, but, you know, next year it will just be better than ever, won't it? You know, 2022 will be the best sporting year ever, because everybody's going to be just so happy to be back in stadiums.
I'm permanently drunk watching sport.
with your shandy. I don't know, Claire. Might take a lot of shandy.
I know. I love a shandy.
You're making me, because it's so thirst quenching as well, isn't it? Yeah. A cold shandy on a lovely hot day. But Six Nations is generally not too hot, though.
No, it's just something about standing outside a pub on Caroline Street, you know, with a shandy in my hand. That's the Six Nations to
your
me.
Image. Yeah.
So this podcast is called Going for Goal. What are your goals for 2021?
To get through it. I genuinely think my goals are to keep kind of everybody in my house, you know, as a kind of, I don't know, I feel like I've, that matriarchal thing has become more important to me in lockdown, because I feel like I've got to keep everybody together, and, you know, you're keeping them sane and happy. And I'm talking about the kids, obviously, although Kenny comes into that as well. And so I think keeping them going is really important to me, and driving them and hoping that they, you know, can, because they're going into sixth form and, you know, in the autumn, they're going to new schools. There's so much transition going on in their lives. And to keep going with, I love doing the midpoint. I want to do a third series in the spring, and I want to kind of grow that into something a bit bigger as well, and try and kind of create a community around that. And that's been really, I've really loved it, and I've really enjoyed the reaction, because I don't do a lot where I get a lot of reaction from women. And what's been so lovely about this is the women getting in touch with me, because I do sport and it tends to be men, and they tend to be saying things like, why did you ask that question? Didn't you know it was offside? You know, so, and so it's so nice to get feedback from women who are enjoying the conversations. And so, I think I'd like to just keep going with that, and keep, I'm 50 in 2 years. So I'm 48 in April. And I'm seeing that kind of landmark there, you know, when you kind of go like, okay, physically I work out a lot. I'm, you know, I'm fit and healthy. I feel fit and strong. I've got to put something in the diary, I think, from a point of view of physical goal. I've got to get some new physical goals this year, I think, to maybe half marathon or something, just to keep myself, you know, really kind of motivated. Because I think 50 does feel like a point where you go, oh, I ran, you know, I ran a sub 2 hour marathon, I ran a sub 2 hour half marathon. Yeah,
I've got a world record. Well done, Gabby.
Yeah, that's just a small aim. Yeah, a sub 2 hour half marathon. I think something like that would be a really good goal.
A triathlon, because that's the ultimate challenge.
I'm just swimming, but I'm rubbish at front crawl. I'm a breaststroker, and you don't see many people breaststroking a triathlon.
No,
I did a swim in a triathlon a few years ago, and I was the only one. It was open water. I started doing backstroke, and Kenny was on the riverbank, and this guy went, what's that stupid woman doing? And Kenny was like, who? And he went, her. He said, when you lie on your back in a triathlon, it means help. And so Kenny was going, Gabby, turn over. So yeah, that didn't go so well.
Right, top tip then. No backstroking it in a triathlon.
I know. Well, also, you can't see where you're going. So you're whacking, and there was like all these women in the water, and they're probably thinking, what the hell is she up to? So I really need to learn how to do front crawl properly. That's what I need to do.
Right, well, on that note, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been an absolute pleasure, and good luck for 2021, whatever challenges it throws us. Thank you so much, Gabby Logan.
I hope whatever age and stage you are at, you took heart and inspiration from that chat. What a wise and generally just really lovely sounding woman. You have been listening to broadcaster and host of the Midpoint podcast, Gabby Logan, interviewed by Women's Health Editor-in-Chief Claire Sanderson. As ever, if you want to comment on anything that we've raised in this episode, get in touch. All the details of how to do so are in the show notes. And if you've got a goal in mind and you want to know how to achieve it, let us know and we could be helping you get there in an upcoming episode. Likewise, if there's a celeb who you'd love to hear on the pod, get in touch because we are all ears. That's all from Going for Goal this week. We'll be back next Tuesday. Bye for now.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.